Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We've been talking about the Lord's visits, how he reveals himself to us in a variety of different ways for the purpose of drawing us to him, developing our senses, and providing us the information we may need at any given time. He is training us. He is giving us what we need to prepare us for what he has in store for us. So it's only to our benefit to increase our awareness of what he's doing in our lives, because we know it's for a reason. We've been talking about solical and supernatural manifestations, how the Lord reveals himself to us in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. One thing to remember is that experiencing the supernatural is better felt than telt. It's better for you to experience it for yourself than for me to try to explain all the different aspects of it. So really what we're trying to do here is give you the basics of what you need to know, answer some questions and concerns so that you will ask the Lord and pursue supernatural experiences for yourself. I like to use the example of when I was in grade school, I lived in Michigan, and we had a new student from Hawaii. We had his first week, we were all excited because we were expecting a big snowstorm, the first snowfall of the winter. Now, we had plenty of experience with snow. We knew what it was. But our new classmate had heard of snow, had seen pictures of it, and he even imagined he understood what it was, but he'd never experienced it. So he couldn't understand our excitement. And we were trying to explain to him about snow forts and snowball fights and sledding and ice skating, and he just didn't get it until it started to snow. By the time recess came around, there was a good accumulation on the ground, and he had started to get an idea of what it looked like firsthand. But it wasn't until recess and we could go out and he could play in it for himself, with us enjoying his first experience of snow as well, that he began to know what snow was. Likewise, have you ever tried to explain a flavor to someone? What does it taste like? Vanilla, root beer. It's just so much easier to let them taste for themselves. Let me buy you some chocolate ice cream. Sharing with others creates a thirst, but not the satisfaction. trust God that what he has planned for you will be from him and will stir up your hunger to want to know him more. The Lord encourages us to taste and see that he is good, not see and taste, but taste and see. Experience first, understand second. When we consider the different ways God reveals himself, again, it is a reflection of our conceptions of him, our preconceptions and our misconceptions. When we are of the mind that everything he does with us is a test or a teaching experience, we are much more likely to miss the joy, the rest, the comfort and encouragement that he very often intends. In other words, we often make too much of a big deal out of everything when he just wants to be with us, and he's heightened our senses so that we can enjoy his presence. And when we look instead for meaning, for direction, for a sign, we've misunderstood very often his intent. So we want to be aware of misunderstanding and misinterpreting, misapplying what he is revealing to us. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for any length of time or been around religious circles, Christian circles, you've run across the different approaches to understanding God revealing himself through symbols, through times and seasons, through numbers, through dreams, through visions. There are whole ministries and movements built around interpreting these things. Just to give you a hint, you don't need to be involved in any of those things, because it is very, very simple, and you can do it all on your own without ever cracking a book, without ever attending a conference. It's real simple. When you encounter something you don't understand, or even if you think you do, you ask God, Lord, what do you mean here? Lord, is there a hidden meaning here? Lord, should I pursue this? Lord, what does this mean? What should I do with this? But that's way too simple. And that one of the big reasons all these other ministries and approaches have arisen is because just asking God depends on your ability to hear him, your confidence that you're hearing him clearly. If you don't know that you can hear him for yourself that clearly, then all you have is self-interpretation of symbols or group interpretation of symbols. And that's always wonderful when you throw things out and you get all these different explanations. What's fun is to just be able to say, okay, God, what is your interpretation? What is your meaning? He's the author. You know, it's like reading a book and not understanding what something says and belonging to a club, a book club, and everybody coming up with what was meant by a certain symbol or character or passage, and then inviting the author to come and letting the author explain it. And then you find out, wow, were we off? Now, authors very often will not have one specific interpretation or meaning, just so that the reader can come up with their own idea. But isn't it fascinating that we want God to be clear, and yet we don't want to take the time to be able to hear him clearly, to be able to know him clearly? Well, very often, once you have established that clarity, that you are hearing him clearly, that he is speaking to you clearly, what's interesting is he gives you leeway. He gives you freedom to interpret what you're hearing on a variety of different levels, to do different things with what he is explaining you to do. In other words, you may have an idea about developing a new concept, a new ministry, or giving money, or creating a new, you know, approach to something. And you may ask God, God, is this okay? Lord, is this from you? Is this the direction you want me to go in? And you'll find the more you are dependent on him, the greater your freedom becomes. And instead of saying yes and no and don't do this and do this, he says, well, that sounds fine with me. That's up to you. You can do that if you'd like to. Because he knows he can trust us. Because if he says, you're going too far, or if he says, I need you over here now, that you'll be available, that you'll stop what you're doing. Because you can recognize his voice when he says, okay, I need your attention over here now. But if we can't do that, if we're so caught up in the minutia of his supposed perfect will, he's going to have a hard time trusting us, rightfully so, to respond to his voice when it's necessary. So again, we want to be learning, but always come back to the depending. Turn to God first. Ask God first. First, last, and always. Now, he, again, may be bringing people and books and even these teachings into your life. But if what you're learning is strengthening your dependence on your own strength, if it's encouraging you to rely on your own ability or somebody else's ability, that's encouraging your flesh, your own self-reliance, your own self-strength. And that's contrary to God. God will eventually, one way or another, take it down, break that strength. So it's better to not build it to begin with. So many have not been taught to begin with that God speaks for himself and can speak that clearly. There's this notion that it's through the gifts that he speaks. And we are so low level with the gifts that we are straining and struggling. This is why we must experience God for ourselves, so that we can rest in him, recognizing that it is his job to reveal himself it is our job to give him the time and attention so that we can learn to recognize his revealing himself. Again, so simple, and yet we have a long way to go in appropriating, in learning to live as the spirit beings that we are now. So one of the major ways that the Lord reveals himself to us, the Lord visits us, is through a sense of his presence. This is perhaps the best example of needing to experience the Lord firsthand. We are learning to recognize his personal presence. So am I saying that God himself comes to you and makes himself known to you personally? Absolutely. The God of all the universe, the creator of heaven and earth and everything in between, past, present, and future, the God of all, comes to you and reveals himself. He makes his presence known to you. As your senses become sharpened through a much waiting on the Lord and cultivating a quiet lifestyle, you will more quickly and easily begin to be able to identify his presence. And over time, we'll be able to even distinguish and discern his purpose, his direction, and intention of each visit with confidence. Not because you've studied much or tried hard, but because the Lord has removed the veil separating your senses from his reality. Again, knowing the Lord is simple. Simply responding to his training, his teaching. Giving him the time and the attention, and he takes it from there. That's one of the reasons why if we think we're supposed to, once God reveals himself, we're supposed to take it from there. That's one of the ways we hinder him. By thinking we take it from there, we try to exert our own understanding and our own strength to try to figure out what he means by his visit, his interruption of our lives. It's because not only is he not able to reveal the truth because we're not asking him, but we strengthen the hindrances. We strengthen the wall that separates our soul from our spirit by relying on our own soul. If you rely on your soul, it's going to get stronger. If you rely on your spirit's going to get stronger. You rely on your spirit by asking God, what's your truth here? What am I supposed to do with this, if anything? Another way the Lord visits us is by his drawing. He draws us. So though there will be times the Lord makes himself known, during the times we are specifically focusing on him, like during your quiet time, the majority of the time that he wants to make himself known to us, we will be engaged in other activities. And he will do something to get our attention. He doesn't want to have to shout at us to get our attention. It's a good thing if the Lord doesn't have to send an angel or perform a miracle or display a sign to get our attention or encourage us. One of the ways we show respect to a person is if we are at their beck and call. So to strengthen our attention, the Lord will engage us to attend to him at what may seem to be odd times. When you're working, when you're driving, when you're reading, when you're doing other things, you may sense his presence. He's teaching us to stop what we're doing and pay attention. When we have an idea that God may knock on our door at any time, our ear is listening for that knock. Now we go about our day, but when he knocks, we were listening and we respond. The clutter of this world doesn't block it out. We don't just sit and do nothing all day. We don't have to, because we are increasingly aware of the ways God gets our attention, draws us. Learning by habit, by repetition, to pay attention, and then how to promptly respond is essential to moving into being led by the Spirit, truly. This is not by gifts. This is not by word of knowledge or a special anointing or mantle or calling or office. This is for all of us. We are all to be learning how to live and move and have our being in him. So he reveals himself and he draws us. And that happens at any time, day or night, whatever the circumstance. Now, one thing that's very common, and I think we'll begin to understand why it's so common, is that the Lord likes to visit us, particularly at night. You'll find that the Lord is much more active in our lives during the night seasons than during the day. There are several reasons for this. First, our body is less active, which lessens its demand for attention from our soul and spirit, freeing our soul to respond. So it's just that you're quiet, your body is quiet, and so your soul is not attending to the things of the physical realm. So it's more likely to perceive, recognize the movement of God in your being, in your presence. Secondly, our soul, mind, will, and emotion is less distracted by the cares of this world, the demands of the clock, external and internal voices, and its need to control. The soul itself is more at rest, maybe not completely, but more than during the day. Therefore, the soul is more available to receive unconditionally what the Lord wants to share unconditionally. Third, because our conscious mind is subdued, the Lord has greater opportunity to override, to change, or to ignore the parts of our belief system that hinder his revelation. In other words, we may be resisting changing our belief system about whether God heals today. And we may find that by the time we wake up, well, maybe he does heal after all. Why is that so hard for me to accept? Maybe he does. He changes our mind while we sleep. He changes our emotions and our will as well while we sleep, because we're not fighting him as much. Finally, the Lord also likes to test what we have learned during the day by visiting us at night. So we learn things during the day, and then he tests them at night, and vice versa. There are two general ways that the Lord visits us at night. And this is very practically speaking now. He wakes us, and then he doesn't wake us. So we can say that he visits us by our knowledge, by our understanding, and getting us up, and we spend time with him. Then there's also when he doesn't wake us up and he visits with us without our being aware of it. One of these ways is communing, what I call communing with the Lord. While our body sleeps, deep calls to deep. Your spirit and God's spirit are freely able to speak to your soul and even your body. The Lord changes our mind, quiets our emotions, and gives new direction without our conscious awareness or interference. Things that during the day we'd argue with him about are readily accepted as truth during the night. The result is that in the morning, or perhaps days, weeks, or months later, we realize that something has changed about us, about a situation, about our relationship with him, or our relationship with others, or even ourselves, how we think about ourselves. For instance, we may have an answer to a situation that never occurred to us before. Or our mind or emotions toward a person may have changed without our realizing it. Very often, God does his greatest and fastest work as we sleep, so that he is not interfered with by our trying to help. Since waiting for him and cultivating quietness are engaging with the Lord in his purposes, there will likely be an increase in responses in this way, as we have given God the opportunity to release his healing, his strength, his understanding in his ways and according to his time. When you start to set your mind, your time, your attention, that you want his visits, that you want him to reveal himself, he will start encroaching in areas of your life that you never expected. Don't be surprised. When you give him permission, say, Lord, I want everything you want me to have. He will invade your territory. Let's do that right now. Lord, we want to have everything you want us to have. And we give you permission to reveal yourself whenever and however. Lord, if you wake us up at night, we will get up. If you tap us on the shoulder during the day, we will respond. Lord, teach us. We trust you to teach us. So we'll pick it up there next Thursday. We'll be getting back together again Saturday at 9 o'clock. Until then, have a great rest of the week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.